I came across that video years ago, and it's something that every time I watch it, I see something different. Like this time when I watched it, for the very first time, I saw that one of the kids was eating the grapes instead of giving them to Pilgrim. For me, it's an emotionally moving video, but it really captures the essence of the Christian life. It captures the essence of our journey, if you will. I think that there are there's three kinds of people in the world. I think there are pillagers. There are people who are on the wide road. There are people who life is all about them. They're consuming. They're taking in. They're taking in. And this was pointed out in the video. You've got this big, broad highway, and you've got this group of people traveling down it. And our friend, we'll just call him Pilgrim, he's in there. He's in the crowd. But he comes up on this narrow road that no one's taking. And it intrigues him. It captures his attention. And so he turns and starts down the narrow road. It brings to mind the words of Jesus when he said that the road that leads to destruction is broad. And there are a lot of people who are on that road. But the road that leads to life, the road that leads to eternal life, is narrow. And few are they that find it. We wander through life, and I think that a lot of us, have you ever been on a long road trip? Maybe guys are different from girls, but when I get on a long road trip, all I want to do is I don't want to stop. I just want to point the car down the highway and kind of settle into my groove. You know what I mean? You just kind of, all of a sudden the lines are going by, and every now and then, I travel with children, so the trips seem twice as long as they really are with a six-year-old and a five-year-old, but I'm so thankful for the invention of the portable DVD player and headphones. Because now our family trips aren't really family trips. It's four individuals riding in a car together, just completely disconnected, which makes it so much easier to do. We're riding down the road. I've got the radio going. Karen falls asleep, usually 5 minutes out of the driveway. The kids are in the back playing with their leap pads and listening. They're usually watching a movie, and they're playing, and they're reading and stuff while they're watching a movie. I get on the highway, and I just cruise. And I think a lot of people take that approach to life. They're just cruising down the highway. They're almost in a state of hypnosis, just settled in, oblivious to the world around them. That's why people pick their nose while they're driving. They have no idea that people can see into their car, you know? Do that at home. Yuck. You're just driving down the road, but then all of a sudden something happens in our life. Something happens that catches our attention. And in my mind, I see this long-haired guy in a white robe standing on the side of the road, and he's got a little sign up, and it says home, and it points to this little narrow road. And some people go on by, they're intrigued, but they don't want to make the turn. But there are some people who realize that doing life their way as a pillager, life all about them, isn't satisfying. It isn't meeting their need. It isn't filling that hole that they have. And so they turn to Jesus. They give their life to Jesus to do with what He wants, because honestly and truthfully, He's the only person that can satisfy that need. That desire to consume and consume and consume has to be replaced with a desire to love and serve God. And there comes a point in our lives where we see this, but we see it as maybe a benefit to ourselves. And so we go from being a pillager to being more or less a passenger. We're on a road, we're not exactly sure where it goes, we're just kind of following along. And you see Pilgrim in the video, he makes the turn to the narrow road. And as he's walking down the narrow road, the sky is sunny, he's got his backpack. Now if you're obsessive compulsive like I am, he's carrying his backpack, but did y'all notice what's wrong with it? It's open! He's got to close the backpack! It just bothered me. I was like, there's really no spiritual significance to the backpack being open, it just bothered an obsessive person like me. I discovered this morning as I was leaving that one of my zippers on my backpack wasn't completely zipped. I had to stop, set everything down, set it down, zip it back up, and pick it back up. But he's got his backpack. He's wandering around the road. The sky is sunny, but then all of a sudden the weather turns. And I think for a lot of people who go from being pillagers to passengers, this is where most of us are. The weather turns, and all of a sudden two guys in rain ponchos with umbrellas just show up in the middle of the storm. And they say to our friend Pilgrim, let's just go back. It was easier. We're going to comfort you. You don't want to go this way. Look, the storm goes on forever. Just walk with us. And at first, he turns and goes with him. And I think, I was reading this week, the statistics show that 99% of people who profess Christ as their Savior will never bring another person to Christ. And I think it's because we have that moment where we turn to the narrow road, and all of a sudden we realize that the Christian way may be a little harder than we anticipated. And so rather than continuing on, we turn, we start looking for the broad road again. And you'll never really find the broad road. You're on the narrow road, but you know what? You'll never get where God wants you really to go, because you're not going the direction He initially started you. So Pilgrim, he breaks free, and he turns and he starts walking. He decides that no matter what, I'm on the narrow road and I'm going to walk the direction I know I should be walking. So as he's walking, he scene cuts, and for some reason, I'm on, and this thing hates me. Can you advance? There we go. He wakes up, and he's surrounded by midgets. Little people. Actually, they're children, but they kind of freak me out, because they're all in white, and they're all staring at him, and they're all giving him this kind of weird-looking... And they all got fruit, and of course, I know for the first time the one kid's eating the fruit, but they're giving him what he needs for the journey. And it represents the fact that he has gone from... He's made it through the hard times, and he's on the path. And the path is even narrower. But he wakes up, and the children dressed in white to me represent just the fact that the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to continue on in the journey. But you have to make this decision that he soon comes to on the path. He comes to the edge of a cliff. He's got the flower, and he realizes that if I'm going to go any further in my journey... I'm going to go from being a passenger really to a pilgrim. The path brings me here. And now I've got to choose. Am I going to be safe? Or am I going to jump? And at first he takes the flower and he throws it in the water. It's too much. And it reminds me of Jesus. He's walking with his disciples and they're having a discussion about the kingdom and some of Jesus' teachings. And Jesus, just in the middle, he stops. And he says these words, he says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it." There comes a point for every one of us where we have to decide. And here's the interesting thing. He's got the backpack to that point. He walks back down the path a little ways and he's thinking about it and he realizes, you know what, the path takes me there, I've got to jump, I've got to be willing to jump. So what does he do? Puts the backpack down. His baggage. It may have had, he pulls water out of it at one point. It may have everything he thinks he needs for the trip. But the truth is, the only thing he needs for the trip is a desire to follow Jesus at any cost. And so he runs and he jumps off of the cliff. And he jumps into the water. And he becomes what I think this is where he goes from being a passenger, where someone else is kind of dictating how you go and you're just kind of walking along because the path's there. All of a sudden he comes up and there's not necessarily a path anymore. He's a pilgrim. He's now blazing the trail. He's the man that God is taking and doing incredible things with. And he finds himself sitting at a campfire. And he does something that we tend to do as believers. Those of us who make that jump, who go from being on the broad road to the narrow road, and then from the narrow road realizing that Christianity, that following Christ is no longer about us, it's about being willing to lose our life because that's the path that he's led us down. We come to this place where now our big wrestling is with getting into the Word and temptation. He comes out of the water and finds a sword, and obviously we all can kind of guess what the sword represents, the sword of the Spirit. He's in the Word. He's got the Word. Now he's sitting around a campfire, and when I show this video with teenagers, I always ask him, he's sitting around the campfire, those two cloaked figures come back. Who do you think those cloaked figures are? And the teenagers always respond, the devil, demons. I'm like, no. Wrong answer. It could be. But the way that I take it is when Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, that's weird. That's not the verse I have. So in 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul tells Timothy to flee the temptations of youth. to flee the evil desires of youth. The things that we used to do, we have to leave those things behind. Maybe it's 21, Kyle. We have to be willing to leave those things behind. What we want to do is, as believers, we want to think, well, I'm growing in the Word and I can walk right up to the edge of temptation and see if I can get as close as I can without actually being tempted, without it actually being something. So we push the envelope in our entertainment. We push the envelope in our desires. We push the envelope trying to see just how close we can get to temptation without getting any of it on us. But Paul tells Timothy, and we see this with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. If we go back to Genesis, we see Joseph, when he's tempted with Potiphar's wife, he doesn't stand there and go, I'm a strong man, I can handle the temptation of this beautiful woman. He turns and he runs. He pulls a Forrest Gump. He just turns around and off he goes back out into in a way. She grabs his clothes. He ends up paying a high price for doing the right thing. But when temptation comes upon us, we think, well, you know what? I can handle this. And the truth is we can't. Paul's advice to Timothy was, you can't handle temptation. Now, James's advice to us in James chapter 4, verse 7 is that we should resist the devil and he will flee. So here's where we have to figure it out. We have to figure out, which way is it? Is it temptation or is it the devil? Because not all temptation comes from the devil. Some does. But a lot of it is just our own selfishness. And so we have Pilgrim, he gets caught up in trying to fight with temptation. Temptation lays hold of him, makes a slave of him, begins to drag him off. Right? That's just the struggle that we're going to live with for the rest of our lives, that we're going to be wrestling, and we're going to have temptation coming at us, and we've got to figure out how we're going to deal with it. So he breaks free, he breaks the chains, he goes back to where he was at the campfire. He picks up the sword, and temptation comes from again. But he's learned this time, right? He turns his back on it, and he walks away. And he walks into heaven, which is a great place to be able to go. Temptation can't come in anymore. I don't know what the significance of the little girl in the white robes is, other than maybe it represents loved ones who met him at the gate. I don't know. There's all kinds of Southern gospel songs about dreaming of a city called glory where all your loved ones will meet you at the gate. I don't know that that's true, but I do know that he went from being wounded and being drugged through the mud and having to fight and being weary to being clothed in white and inside the safety of gates. And so he enters into heaven. He enters into God's rest where he'll never have to deal with temptation, sickness, illness. And so there's really three kinds of people in the story. You have pillagers who are wandering the broad road. You have passengers who make the turn. They're still not sure what they're doing, but they're just kind of going. They found Jesus and they're not sure what it means. And then you have pilgrims, those who realize that if you're going to follow Jesus, it means taking up your cross, denying yourself, and following him. But the one thing that stands out to me the most in this video is something you don't see in the video. And that's really where I wanted to spend my time this morning. Who's with him? The only time he has people with him is before he becomes a follower of Christ. The little children that really represent the Holy Spirit. You have temptation, which aren't really people either. The next time you see him with people, he's in heaven. Let me ask you this. How would the video be different? How would things be different if he'd had someone with him? What if he'd come up to that crossroad and there'd been a person standing there with a sign that says, you need to go this way? With a sign that says, home. And they walked with him. And when the temptation to turn back came, there was a friend there to encourage him and say, no, that's not for you. We need to press on. And when they came to the cliff, the person was able to say, listen, I've jumped off this cliff. I've been here. I've done this. You'll be okay. Trust me. And they jumped together. They come out of the water together. They're sitting around the fire. And when temptation comes, the friend who's been walking with him since the beginning of his journey says to him, that's temptation. That's not for you. Get into the Word and read and study and be prepared to flee from temptation. Be able to resist the devil. Here's the important thing. In Luke chapter 10, this is what Jesus had in mind all along. They're walking along. Jesus has been walking and teaching, and he says to the disciples, After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." When Jesus decided it was time to start spreading the word, when Jesus decided, theology guys and some of our missiologists look at this passage and they say this is Jesus' model for church planting, if you will. That he takes two people and he partners them for the work of planting, of sowing seed, of being workers for the harvest. He never intended for any of them to go alone. And if we watch and we read carefully through the New Testament, we see that as people went after the crucifixion, they always went in groups. If we watch after the crucifixion, we see that Paul never went by himself on the missionary journeys. We see Paul taking Barnabas, taking Timothy, taking Silas. I mean, he's got Luke with him. He's never alone. He's never off doing his own thing. The kingdom of God is not meant for us to be living the life and walking the path alone. We're designed for relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with people. And this is what I wanted to entreat you to do this morning. For many of you, you feel like you're alone. Your struggles, your temptations, the things that you face, you just wish you had a friend you could confide in. Someone who could talk you through it. Someone who would walk the path with you. Who would make the journey with you. Just somebody who understood me and is here. And we understand. I'm not saying that Jesus isn't with you, and I'm not saying that you are ever truly alone, but you know what I'm saying. There are moments where you wish Jesus was physically sitting next to you and could speak to you. And you could hear him clearly through the voice of a friend. Our lives, our struggles, our fights, our sacrifices, everything about our journey would be so much easier if we had a friend to make it with us. Life would just be better if we didn't feel alone. We live in a society where we're seeing more and more mental disabilities and psychological problems with teenagers, and they're starting to narrow it down. The real reason is isolationism. The more technology savvy teenagers get, the more things they have on their calendar, the more things that are going on in their lives, the more they become isolated. They put their iPod in, they get on Instant Messenger, they zone out, and all of a sudden they're not connected to the world anymore. And psychologists are starting to say this is why we're seeing so many bipolar disorders. We're seeing so many manic depressive disorders among teenagers. Isolationism. Do you think God knew that? You think Jesus knew that when he sent out the 72, when he sent them out by twos? That things will go easier and be better for you if you have someone with you, if you're not isolated? As a small group pastor here, one of the things that God has called me to do is help every person find a place where they belong. And I figured, hey, since Mike's gone, I could use this as a plug for small groups. If you feel like you're alone, if you feel like there's a void in your life where you don't have anybody to walk with you, listen, we've got upwards of 20 groups of people who are sharing life together. They're on the same journey you are, but they're not making it alone. If you've never plugged into one of our small groups, I would encourage you, I would entreat you this morning to understand that, hey, your faith is not about you walking it alone. Sure, you are responsible for your faith. The decisions and choices you have to make are yours to make. They're not up to anybody else, but it's so much easier to make when you've got friends, when you've got accountability, when you've got encouragement. If you've not plugged into one of our life groups, I keep calling them small groups because that's what we used to call them. They're called life groups now. I corrected Mike last week and then I made the faux pas this week. If you're not connected to a life group, let me encourage you to do that this morning. There's a list of our life groups out on the Welcome Center. Several of our life group leaders are here. They're sitting among you. You can go on the website and find a life group. If we could, we could actually have people come up and share testimony after testimony after testimony, how they felt like they were alone, how they weren't doing well in their life or their faith, how things just weren't turning out right for them. Some of you are nodding because you know that's your testimony. And then they joined a life group where they met people just like them with the same kind of struggles, with the same kind of temptations, with the same... I mean, they're just... It's life. This morning, let me encourage you to don't do this alone. Don't walk this path alone. Get involved. Get connected. Find that person that God wants you to get connected to. And I know what you're thinking. I'm married. I have my person. Doesn't count. Because when you guys got married, you became one flesh. You're really just one person. So technically, you're a half. You're not even a whole. And you know what? As a couple, you need that support from other couples. Guys, you need another guy that can tell you, listen, you're being an idiot, which would be all the time. Ladies, you need someone to say, listen, he's just being an idiot. Most of our small groups, I know our student small groups have not, but most of our small groups have done marriage stuff. Most of our small groups are digging into different books of the Bible. Some of our small groups are discussing application for messages they hear here on Sunday morning. But that's secondary, because all of our small groups are sharing life. All of our life groups are sharing life together. If you're in here and you're one of our life group leaders and you want to meet people who might be stopping by, you can go to the Welcome Center here in a second. But if you are on the journey and you've been by yourself, and you don't know how long you've been by yourself, but you know you feel beat up, you feel like you're still being drug along, and you want to connect with someone who can speak words of encouragement, advice, or just share the journey with you, stop by the table or fill out your communication card. Said, I would really love to find a life group. That's one of my greatest joys of the week, is when I get emails from people saying, well, I'm looking for a life group. I really want to connect. I feel alone. And we see a need for connection. And I actually keep those emails in a separate file so I can go back and read them through. And I pray for you. I pray that you'd be connected. I pray for our life groups. But the bottom line is, if you're walking alone, you're not supposed to be. If you haven't made the turn to the narrow road, it's a great decision. Some of you, that may be the decision you're facing this morning. You're caught in the crowd and you're wandering down the broad road and you're thinking, is it worth it? I've had opportunity after opportunity to turn to the narrow road and I just can't quite do it. All you have to do to make the turn to the narrow road is say, Jesus, I want you to be my everything. I've lived life on my own terms as a pillager. It's been all about me. And I want to walk your road. I want to walk it your way. Understand that you've done things that are wrong. Jesus died on the cross to forgive those things. And if you'll just ask Him to, He's ready to forgive you and set you on the narrow road. If you've already made that turn, but you've never really made that realization that when it gets hard, it got hard a couple months in and I turned back and I haven't gotten past that. This morning, maybe you would make that decision. I'm going to turn back and walk. I know it's going to be hard and I know I'm going to face the same storm again. But this time, I'm going to walk through it, because I'm not going to walk through it alone. Or maybe you're one of those people who stood at the edge of the cliff and you decided the cost was too much. I'll just be happy being a passenger. This morning, God is calling you to jump. And then lastly, the thing that He wants all of us to do is find someone to walk through life with us. Whatever it is that God's laying on your heart to do this morning, would you do it? Would you turn to Him? Would you make the sacrifice? Would you walk the path? There's a great reward waiting. It'd be so much easier if we just made the journey together. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You don't leave us alone, that You never intended us to do this alone, that You promise Your presence and You promise the fellowship of those who are unashamed. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who's considering turning to Your narrow road, Lord, I pray that right now You would just move them. Pick them up and set them on the narrow road out of a desire to follow You. But for those who have turned their back because of the storms, Lord, I pray You'd provide them with comfort and an encourager to get them through. Help us to recognize when we're being tempted and when it's just the devil. Help us to know when we should flee and when we should resist. Most importantly, Father, help us to connect. Help us to connect to You. Help us to connect to others through You. We pray in Your name. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here. Mike was watching online and realized that the high notes says 201 and 301 next week, but it's 101. Kyle, is that right? 101 and 301? No 201 next week, so it's 101 and 301. And Discovery 101 is how we connect with the Heights as a whole. It's where we learn where the Heights came from, some of our purposes. We learn about some of the things we believe. So if you'd like to join the Heights, or you'd like to just come and see what the Heights is all about, and you want to come check it out, what's this thing about? Sign up for Discovery 101. Let us know if you need childcare. Come, we'll be in the summit, and we'll have a great time. And at the end of that, you have the opportunity to join your life with us here at the Heights. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week.